Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Training Congregation. Now it's at the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 25, 2016. Friday the 21st day of the 4th month of 2020. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, The King is Coming. Marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the street. Oh, the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease to labor, in the courtroom no debate. Work on earth is all suspended, as the King comes through the gate. The King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise Yah, He's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken home that He has mended, those from prison He has freed. And the children and the aged, hand in hands that are closed. We were crippled, broken, ruined, flooding God as white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. For the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise Yah, He's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng. The flurry of Yah's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Eagle's robes are now unfolding, heaven's grandstands are in play. Heaven's choir is now assembled, taught to sing amazing praise. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise Yah, He's coming for me. Part 4, War News Forecast. We're on page 33, and I'm looking at Psalms 32 for our prayer thought. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now this is a blessed person. Whoever's transgression is forgiven, blessed is he whose sin is covered. So it says that person is blessed, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no God. I kept solace, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, Yahweh, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is righteous pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of the great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Our key word again is deliverance. Yahweh told me to pull up the word deliverance again, and it's why I'm reading Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, isn't this a wonderful promise? The Yahweh said here, we will instruct us in the way that we should go. He will guide us with his eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding. Now, another key word is understanding. Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bottle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusts in the Yahweh, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Yahweh, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. For it says, those that are upright in heart shall be glad in the Yahshua. And rejoice ye righteous, and shout for joy all ye that are upright in the heart. Alright, now let's end chapter 32. Let's go to chapter 37 now. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Okay. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Okay. So we know what's going on in the world. We know the wicked are in charge of the governments of the world. But they're short-lived. Trust in the Yahweh and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. You gotta be fed, because you get hungry every day. And if there's no food, it's all over with. So it says, in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Yahshua, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now if you delight yourself, thyself also in the Yahshua. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Yahshua, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Yahweh, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. For the wicked plotteth against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Yahweh shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. For the wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Okay? What little bit of righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked people. I just read on the news where it said when Britain voted to exit the Euro Union yesterday, June the 23rd, said 400 billionaires lost 127 billion dollars within just a few hours. $127 billion. What could I do with $1 billion? They could have given me one of those $1 billion and they'd have never missed it. They could have given me $1 million and never missed it. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Yeshua upholdeth the righteous. Yeshua knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Yahweh shall be as the fat of lamb. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Okay. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Yahweh shall be as the fat of lamb. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. What does that sound like? That sounds like Revelation 19. That sounds like Revelation 19:20. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with the brimstone. But don't you think that that creates a lot of smoke? Well, that's what it says right here. It says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Yahweh shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume away, and the smoke shall they consume away. Into smoke. They're going to become smoke. So they're going to be burned. Just like they're a burnt offering. Like the fat of a lamb upon the burnt offering. For the wicked barreth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Yahweh, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Yahweh opposeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Yahweh loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Surely the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. For the righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. For the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his Elohim is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Yahweh and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Mm-hmm. Now how about that? We got the wicked right now. They're trying to stay in power. And they're doing and using every means that they can, and they're lining up with the rich people to affect this here staying power that they're trying to hold on to. But according to what I just read here, it says, wait on the Yahweh, and he will keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Well, he saw down to our day then, because the wicked are in great power right now. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So mark the perfect man. You know, when I think about Donald Trump, he is a Cyrus, King Cyrus, but he's preordained of Yahweh. Yahweh created him for this purpose. He said even in Proverbs there, Isaiah 16:4, he said he even created the wicked or the evil for the day for his purpose. So he also created the wicked for his purpose. Okay. So, but it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright to the end of that man's peace. Well, Donald Trump has a record, notorious record, of being honest and a man of his word. And whenever he says something, the people that know him say, you can depend on it. So the people now in politics, or whenever this Donald Trump says something, they pay attention to it. Because Donald Trump says, I will do what I say. I don't say something and not do it. He said, it will be done. Okay, so he keeps his word and he does deliver. That the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Yahweh. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And we are in the time of trouble. And the Yahweh shall help them and deliver them. Here's that key word, deliver. I use that key word, deliverance, but deliver goes right with it. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So what do we got to fear? We have nothing to fear. If we keep the way of the Yahweh, He says, if you will keep my way, He says, you keep my way, and He says, I will exalt thee, exalt thee to inherit the land. That's in verse 34. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Why? Because whenever you inherit the land and He takes you over to take possession of your inheritance, what are you going to witness? You're going to be the witness, the wicked being cast out of there and destroyed right before your eyes. That's when you know it's time for you to inherit the land, when the wicked has been vanquished from your land that is your inheritance. So you see why they have to get the wicked out of the land of Israel? Because it is given to the seed of Abraham for an inheritance, and also for Abraham's inheritance. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are going to be resurrected and sit down in the kingdom. They're in the land of Israel whenever it's restored back again. And all the wicked are taken out of there. Well, that's good news, folks. So that ends our prayer thought now on chapter 37. Part 4 of War News Forecast. We're on page, 33, track 14 of V.T. Hollis. It says, but the simple historical fact that these two kingdoms were overthrown centuries before Emmanuel was even born brings a time discrepancy which can be reconciled only by the conclusion that all four nations, Judah, Israel, Syria, and Assyria. Now look at this. I haven't seen this before just in this way. Judah is, according to the V.T. Hollis, is a nation. Israel, the 10 tribes, is a nation. Judah, the 2 tribes, is a nation. Well, of course, I've known this before, that they were called the two great kingdoms when they were separated, and they're still separated. They're still called the two great kingdoms. They're going to be joined back together into one kingdom. So, but I never put that kingdom as a nation. Also, but kingdom must be a synonymous term with the word nation. So V.T. Hollis, he put that in here. It says four nations, Judah, Israel. See, Judah's in the land of Israel. They're part of Israel. But it says that they're a nation here, which was true. When they were separated from the 10 tribes, they became a true tribe nation. Okay, Israel, Syria, and Assyria. So Syria also to the north in the land of Israel is also called a nation. And Assyria, that's also in the land of Israel, and also on the other side of the land of Israel in Mesopotamia, up above north of the Euphrates, in the land of Babylon, as we know it, that's what it's called back then. Okay, so when Nimrod came on the scene after the flood, Cush is the father of Nimrod, and he built the Tower of Babel and created the word Babylon, meaning confusion. Then that was identified as being Babylon straddled the Euphrates River, and Babylon had part of her city on the south part of the Euphrates River, which is in the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, and she had part of her city on the north side of the river Euphrates in the land of Ur, the Chaldees. So she straddled the river, and she laid claim to everything north of the river and everything south of the river of the Euphrates. Okay? So it says, let's read again, that the simple historical fact that these two kingdoms, Judah and Israel, these two kingdoms, were overthrown centuries before Emmanuel was even born. Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, the two kingdoms, the 10 tribes of Israel was overthrown, and the 2 tribes of Judah was overthrown. Okay. Centuries before Emmanuel was even born brings a time discrepancy which can be reconciled only by the conclusion that all 4 nations, Judah, Israel, Syria, and Assyria, involved in this historical action were typical of 4 others that were to arise sometime following Emmanuel's birth, for after his birth, Israel and Syria were to be conquered by Assyria. Now, what did we just learn here? It says, involved in this historical action were the typical of 4 others that were to arise sometime following Emmanuel's birth. So we had the 4 that was before, that was Judah, Israel, Syria, and Assyria. That was your 4 nations before. Now we got 4 that's following Emmanuel's birth, for after his birth, Israel and Syria were to be conquered, by Assyria. Necessarily then, there must be found in the Christian dispensation a backslidden Christian power, parentheses, Israel. Now you see, this is using that word Christian to identify Israel is not very proper, I would say, but nevertheless, I would call it apostolic. Confederated with the pagan one, Syria. So an apostolic power, Israel, confederated with the pagan one, Syria. Now, keep in mind that Assyria is called a nation here, according to Vitiata, but Syria is a part of Israel's land in the north, to the end of this assimilating and annihilating the Orthodox Christian Judah. And the only such confederacy in the Christian era was the unholy union of church and state, which ruled during the Dark Ages from 538 to 1798 AD for 1260 years, I might add, and which sought the destruction of the born again who refused to depart from the apostolic faith. And here's that word apostolic, where he reached out to very easily said Christian faith like he normally would have. But he used the right word here, apostolic faith, and submit to a Christian pagan Israel-Syrian confederacy. So the 10 tribes was then identified as pagan, Christian pagan, whereas the southern kingdom, Judah, was identified by the word apostolic faith. Now, this is very interesting. Foretelling to Daniel the work of this wicked power, the angel declared, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until the time and times and divided of time, Daniel 7:25. As a natural consequence, therefore, the type ancient Assyria finds this devil and the power, which in the Middle Ages broke up the church-state union, and as that union was dissolved by the present Protestant nation, the conclusion inescapably follows that modern Assyria reaches down to our day, thus certifying the fact that Isaiah's prophecy is correlated with Nahum's, that since ancient Assyria overthrew the Israelite Syrian Confederacy centuries before Emmanuel was born, and since modern Assyria overthrew the church-state alliance of the Middle Ages centuries after he was born, logic demands that Assyria, Judah, Israel, and Assyria are types, so also Emmanuel must be. Wherefore, the virgin birth prophecy does not refer alone to the birth of Yahshua, but even more significantly unto his followers, for the birth and development of the Christendom, correspondingly identifying Mahershala Hasbaz, must be symbolical of another group in the Christian era. And as he knows only to say, my father and my mother, while Emmanuel Yahshua in the person of his people knows to refuse the evil and choose the good, so then Mahershala Hasbaz manifestly cannot symbolize any who lived before Emmanuel. Still further, the fact that both were to be born into Judah, the church, of the Davidians, not the Church of the Seventh-day Adventist, but the Church of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, tribe of Judah, the house of David. Okay, so now this Emmanuel and Mahershala Hasbaz had to be born unto the house of David. So the branch of Davidians came on the scene in 1970, following the Rod Davidians of 1930 to 1970, Victory Hollis, Rod Davidians, Robert Fetty Johnson Branch Davidian, 1970, now keep that in mind, and Judah belongs to Gilead Center, not to Carmel, does not belong to Carmel, because you know why? Carmel represented the antitypical period of Abraham and Ishmael before Isaac was born, because Isaac is the one that that brought forth Esau and Jacob, and Jacob is the one that brought forth Judah. Now, do you get the point? So Mount Carmel had the 30 to 1970 had to represent a 40-year period for the Abraham Ishmael type of situation. Because Isaac wasn't born until antitypical 1970, when the Rod period ended. The very year that the Rod period ended, the Isaac branch period was born unto Brother W. Johnson. Haven't seen this before. Just now unfolding. Still further, the fact that both were to be born into Judah, the church, so this Mahershala Hasbaz, and he couldn't be an antitypical Ishmaelite in that sense. But he could be born unto Isaac. And then he would represent he would represent Esau, the firstborn of Isaac, 1970. Okay. Still further, the fact that both were to be born into Judah, the church, so Gilead Center then represented Judah in our day proper. Judah's time had come. Judah was introduced in 1890 by the Seventh-day Adventists with Jones and Wagner, and the 40-year prophecy for Judah, Ezekiel 4, from 1890 to 1930, so Judah was introduced then, had a 40-year period, was identified only by the rod, the Davidians, of Mount Carmel, in 1930. And then the rod Davidians had a 40-year period. Okay. Representing the antitypical Abraham and Ishmael and Hagar for 25 years only. And then when Rehoboth died in 1955, ending 25 years of his reign, then arose this Ishmael to take the reins in his hands. So Ben Roden represented antitypical Ishmael, and he was an Egyptian. Ishmael had an Egyptian mother. Okay, Hebrew father, Egyptian mother. So that's what Ben Roden represented for 15 years. And that's what Ishmael in the type represented, only 15 years in the household. Actually 20 years in the household of Abraham until he had to be driven out. Likewise, we had to deal with Ben Roden for 20 years. From 1955 to 1975, when we went and gave him a going away party at his place in 1975. Give Ishmael a going away party. After his 20-year reign. Still further, the fact that both were to be born into Judah, the church, one of the spirit and the other of the flesh, is conclusive evidence of their being, as the prophet said, for wonders and for signs and of the two classes of church members living at the same time. Having been pre-existent with his father, Hebrews 1:1 and 2, John 1:1 and 2, this is Yeshua having been pre-existent with his father, and then having been reborn in Bethlehem, Emmanuel manifestly represents the born-again Christian, John 3:3, whereas never having been pre-existent, Mahershala Hasbaz can only symbolize those not born again, that part of the church membership which cannot be represented by Emmanuel. So there is a part of the membership of the house of Israel that cannot be represented by Emmanuel. They're the fleshly Jew that has infiltrated the ranks of the true Israelite. A parallel is found in the allegory of Ishmael and Isaac, typifying the born as the flesh and the born as the spirit, the non-Christian Jew and the Christian Jew. See Galatians 4:22-31. In the clear focus of these facts, there comes to light the truth that the born-again Christian who lived when the ecclesiastical Rome fell, and who are represented by the Emmanuel, were spiritually too young, not far enough along in time and corresponding Bible knowledge and spiritual progress to discriminate the evil from the good. Consequently, they must attain unto this knowledge in the Assyrian Protestant period for the Confederacy of Israel in Syria, Let us remember, was to be broken by Assyria after Emmanuel was born. So Emmanuel, in our day, was antipathy, was born in 1970 as the tender branch. Job 14:7, that grows up as a tender branch from the root of the tree. The scent of water, he sprouts. He could refuse the evil and choose the good. Now let's read that again. Let us remember, was to be broken by Assyria. Let's read this back up a little bit further. Not far enough along in time in corresponding Bible knowledge and spiritual progress to discriminate the evil from the good. Consequently, they must attain unto his knowledge in the Assyrian present period, for the confederacy of the evil and Syria, let us remember, was to be broken by Syria after Emmanuel was born, but before he could refuse the evil and choose the good. And not only after Mershullah Hasbaz was born, but also before he could say my father and my mother, and the fact that the church is still imperfect shows that even the born again Christians are to this day unable to choose consistently between good and evil. And why is that? Because they don't know and practice the whole law of Moses and the sanctuary restored. It's impossible for them to know any better if they don't have the sanctuary restored in their midst by the law, or according to Leviticus 23, then they wouldn't know how to choose all the time consistently between good and evil. See, that those who are merely born after flesh are so underdeveloped as to be able even to lay position or positive claim to the knowing that their father Elohim and their mother the church. The obvious lesson is that at the time one is converted home again, born again, to Yahshua, he is but a babe in the Christian life and needs for the time being to be fed as a newborn babe on the sincere milk of the word that he may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. Now let's look at that again. The obvious lesson is that at the time one is converted, born again unto Yahshua, he is but a babe in the Christian life and needs for the time being to be fed as a newborn babe on the sincere milk of the word, that he may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. Through the Apostle Paul, inspiration interprets this milk to be the first principle of the oracle of Yahweh, Hebrews 5:12. And through Isaac it asks, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then answering its own question, it declares, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, Isaiah 28:9. But the main lesson of Isaiah 7:8 teaches that the church collectively born in the first century A.D. is today about to pass from her childhood and to be fed strong meat so as to empower her to choose the good and refuse the evil. For everyone that uses milk, inspiration declares, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by the reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:1-14. Obviously, as time progresses, so the truth and the Christian advance commensurately with it. Where it says, having fed on milk only on the simple elementary revelations of the word, through the young, long years of her infancy and childhood, we, the church, have finally came to the stage where she must take strong meat, also the advanced latter-day revelation of the word, This becomes all the more obvious as we consider that when Assyria in the Middle Ages dealt the deadly blow to the church-state union of that day, neither Marcella Hasbaugh, the fresh-born Christian, nor Emmanuel, the spirit-born Christian, were mature enough, as we have seen, to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, though they must be coming into full maturity, for not only have many years passed since the Assyrian dealt the blow to the church-state union, but also has come the time for Assyria herself to fall. Okay. So, Assyria was represented in the Adventist Church by the angel of Laodicea, the seventh candlestick, Brother Johnson. Assyria today is represented out there in the world as Obama. Now keep in mind, Assyria is a nation that's right north of Israel. Washington, D.C., where Obama resides as this Assyrian king, he also resides in another nation. Washington, D.C. is not a part of the United States. It is a piece of two states that have been carved out to form the District of Columbia that belongs to Rome, Italy. Doesn't belong to the United States. Okay? So it says, besides that, the strong meat, too, is already here. Unquestionably, the time has come for all church members to realize that they are now passing from Christian childhood into Christian maturity and should therefore no longer try to reach the stature of the full grown by continuing to feed on the food of babes. Hence, each one, even the younger members, the born after the flesh, and now being able to recognize their spiritual parents so as intelligently to say, my father and my mother. For to know their good aright through the Son, and to know their church aright through the timely truth, is what brings life eternal. And as each assimilates the strong meat, he will thereby become wise and strong to refuse the evil and choose the good. Of the necessity, therefore, the special work for the church predicted in the Great Controversy 425 has been ordained to bring every honest member to Christian maturity. Accordingly, also the two foods which Emmanuel was to eat in order to refuse the evil and choose the good must be symbolical, for bread and honey in themselves possess no virtue or efficacy to transmit moral discernment, vitalize the will, and purify the heart. Besides, he ate of all lawful foods in general, Matthew 11:19. These two points, therefore, witness that the butter and honey are symbolical of the scriptures unfolded, meat in due season, for the only food that gives one the knowledge and the will to do right instead of wrong. Thus Yahshua said, I have meat to eat that you know not of, John 4:32. Hence the Christian, who would truly know his Elohim and his church in order to be emptied of evil and be filled with the good, must now feed on present truth, the progressive truth of the living word revealed through the inspiration for the interpretation of the remainder of Isaiah 7 CR Tract Number 6. As one sinks the shaft deeper into the minor truth, he finds that when inspiration makes grass figurative of the people, it accordingly makes rain figurative of their spiritual nourishment, timely truth. Thus, when the terms grass, wheat, or corn are employed to designate the people in the latter days, then the spiritual food necessary to bring them to their full Christian stature is appropriately termed latter rain. Zechariah 10:1, and to show that it is for the uplifting of humanity, Joel gives it the personification in the term teacher of righteousness, Joel 2:23, margin. In this advanced light, we see that the latter rain, Joel 2:23, and the latter Pentecost, Joel 2:28, are two distinctly separate and successive but intimately related manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The one gift is a special truth, a teacher of righteousness, arousing the church from her latest sinism and fitting her members for the final gospel work in all the world. For seeing them actively engage in this work, the Spirit of the truth declared, all fear of their relatives was gone, and the truth alone was exalted to them. I asked what had made this great change. An angel answered, it is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of Yahweh, the loud cry of the third angel. Early writing, page 271. The other gift is a special power, transmitting to each recipient the dynamic virtue of a seer, enabling them to proclaim the special truth unto all the world. I heard those clothed with the armor speak forth the truth with great power, continues the spirit of prophecy. It had effect. Many had been bound, some wives by their husbands, and some children by their parents. The honest who had been prevented from hearing the truth now eagerly laid hold upon it. The special truth or knowledge of the scripture is obtained as a result of praying, hungering, and thirsting for it at the right time. Zechariah 10:1. Then the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of Yahweh, will come to give power unto the loud voice of the third angel. Thus far, the gift of the latter rain, the additional message, gives power and force unto the old message. The gift of the latter Pentecost, the addition of the Spirit's power subsequently gives power and force to the latter-day messengers. This miracle-working power accordingly comes not because of praying for it, but because the messengers through the latter rain have met the conditions for receiving it. I inform human beings as we are, though we determine to get the special power instead of the special knowledge, which alone will enable us to use the power right, so we find men praying out of season ignorantly or presumptuously for that which they are not asked to pray for, and not praying for that which is in season and for which they are admonished to pray. Light is sown for the righteous, and no church can advance in holiness unless its members are earnestly seeking for the truth as for hid treasure. Great Controversy 5:22. And it says that for Yahweh to give the Pentecostal power to one before he becomes the full spiritual growth would be as injudicious as for a state board to get a physician's license unto a medical student before he earns his doctor's degree. And should the Yahweh invest us with the miracle-working power, the experience which we desire before he endues us with the miracle knowledge of the scriptures which we need, he would thereby be doing us no more favor than would the state in issuing a driver's license to any and all applicants regardless of their qualification. To drive an automobile both being an injudicious act, they could but result in casualty unto oneself and unto others. This is why those who seek the miracle power of the Spirit, while not themselves men with the miraculous knowledge of the Bible, obtain either nothing or a fatal counterfeit. whereas those who seek to know themselves and the truth are filled with a knowledge beyond their expectation, and having learned what they actually are and what they ought to be, they too, like Isaiah and Paul, Isaiah 6:5, Romans 7:22-23, become humble in their own estimation, with power and faithful servants in the Yahshua's vineyard. Hence, by the timely unfoldment of these simple yet profound figures, no one should now fail to recognize the signs of the time, and no one should now cheat himself of the truth they proffer. For it alone can fit the saints for the Pentecostal power, as says the Yahshua, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. No longer wait, therefore, but now. Ask ye of the Yahweh rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Yahweh shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Zechariah 10:1 and Joel 2:28. The urgent lesson here to be learned is that those who are ever progressing, keeping pace with the march of the truth, are the only real Christians, and though even the most advanced of these have not yet reached the high standard, the full growth set for them by the Yahshua, yet inspiration in this latest feast of the butter and honey, the latter rain, proffers character building material unto all. As a result of this, thousands of faithful ones at first, Revelation 7:3-8, Revelation 14:1-5, that's the 144,000, and millions at last, Revelation 7:9, Micah 4:1-3, Isaiah 60:5-6, having finally matured for the harvest, actually achieved the Yahshua standard and come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua. Ephesians 4:13. What a bountiful harvest of full-grown Christians to be garnered in. Verses 9 and 10. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of the far country. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for Elohim is with us. For the statement, Elohim is with us, implies that he is not with the nations that are affiliating themselves for the mutual protection, and that therefore they shall be broken, whereas his followers shall then be delivered. Nevertheless, for Elohim to be with us in this special sense, we must make a special effort to be with him. And to do this, we must sincerely study his way and follow joyously in his stately step, which lead us to a full knowledge of the prophetic mysteries, enabling us to avoid the pitfalls and to stand though all others fall. So, following on to know the way, the truth, and the life, we continue our inquiry into Isaiah's prophecy, verse 11-22. And I believe we're in chapter 8 of Isaiah. For the Yahshua spake thus unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy unto all them unto whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Yahshua of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary unto the followers of the truth, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, even as he was at his first advent. And many, therefore, among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. followers that that is in the truth, and I will wait upon the Yahshua that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, it is now plain to see, I and the children whom Yahshua hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Yahshua of the host, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, unto the sealed ones, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that murder, should not a people seek unto their Elohim, for the living to the dead, to the law, Exodus 20, verse 3 to 17, and to the testimony, Revelation 19:10, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And also Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. And they, those in darkness, shall pass through it, hardly be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves of famine. And some shall curse their king and their Elohim, and some shall look upward and be converted. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and of anguish. And they, the rejecters of the latter rain, shall be driven to darkness in the day of the power which destroys the wicked and delivers the righteous. Okay, it says, Nahum chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Esquahite. Yahweh is jealous, and the Yahweh revenges. The Yahweh revenges and is furious, for his enemies have destroyed his vineyard. Well, you know, the vineyard is the world. Isaiah 5:7 said the vineyard is the world in that respect. So the wicked people of the that's in charge of the powers of governments have confederated together to destroy Yahweh's world, all the way from the North Pole to the South Pole and around the world. The Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Yahweh hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, whereas the aircraft of the nations do not, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth all the rivers. But men and their ships go down therein to rise no more. Bashan languishes, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. Okay, now what's the flower of Lebanon? That's Gilead Center. That's your third feeding pasture. And that's the one that just came to an end in 2002. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Yahshua is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him, but with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, the place of the wicked, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Yahshua? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time, because the wicked are cut off, and his kingdom now stands forever. This brings the total of our study. Our contact is at the 11th hour, calling us on the 11th on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Until then. My heart can sing when I pause to remember the heartache here. Is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. children, let Jael carry on until the day must behold the city. Until the day Yah calls me home, if things of earth will dim and lose their value, if we are recalled their borrowed for a while, and things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day Yah calls me home, this weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon, when his release is destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day Yah calls me home.